Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and I want to talk to you today about something I think is important. I want to ask the question, is there a dead dog hanging in your life? 1 Corinthians 10:13 out of the ESV says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure." James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 says, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." 1 Peter 5:8 is another scripture I think we need to understand. "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." You know, the biggest problem a Christian has to deal with is temptation. If we could eliminate temptation, we could probably eliminate sin. A pastor told his congregation, "I learned a great lesson from a dog. He said his master would put a piece of meat or a biscuit or some kind of food on the ground that the dog would like. And then he'd say to the dog, 'Don't eat that.' The dog would run over and eat it. So he would spank the dog. He put another piece of meat on the ground and said, 'Don't eat that.' The dog ran over and ate it, and he spanked him again. After a while, the dog got the message, 'Eat meat, get spanked.' So the dog decided he wouldn't eat the meat. The dog got to where he didn't even look at the meat. He felt if he looked at the meat, the temptation to disobey would be too great. So he constantly looked into his master's face and never took his eyes off him. Then the temptation didn't cause a problem." You know, temptation works like that. As long as we stare at it, looking at the baubles and the bangles that Satan dangles in front of us, and entertain ourselves on the fact that we would like to do that and feed on it, then we're susceptible. Temptation is a common problem for all of us. Often victory over temptation isn't so common. Again, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation is overtaking you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." We have the same problem that dog had. If we entertain the temptation rather than keeping our eyes on Christ, we're going to fall. The strength of the temptation lies in how long you play with it and think about it. If you put it out of your mind, you can have victory. The longer you toy with temptation, the stronger it becomes and the harder it is to resist. If you dismiss it immediately, you'll not have a problem. Well, how do you do that? Well, one of the things I realize is there are many radio towers around the country sending out different frequency signals from different stations. If you don't like the program on one station, you change to another. When Satan bombards with temptation, you can change that station too. You can praise Jesus, you can quote scripture, you can tell Satan how God has forgiven your sin and prepared a place for you to be for all eternity with him, how he has blessed you. You can plead the blood, you can sing a hymn, and remember, you aren't having a private moment. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." You know, surveillance cameras watch us everywhere we go nowadays, but that's nothing to what Hebrews tells us. Hebrews says there's a great host of witnesses watching how you're going to respond. There's God and there's his angels, there's Satan and his demons. They're all watching how you're going to react to a temptation. Knowing this has always helped me to be able to resist temptation. Remember, when Satan offers you a temptation, he wants to destroy you. He's not your friend. 1 Peter 5:8 says, Be sober minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. It's kind of like when you're fishing and you put some bait on the hook, and maybe a worm or maybe a fish egg or something, and you put it in the water, and the old fish comes along and sees that and thinks, boy, there's a meal for me to eat, grabs hold of it and gets hooked in the mouth. All of a sudden, instead of him eating a meal, he becomes a meal for the fisherman. You know, whatever Satan offers, you might gratify for a moment, then it's over. You'll not be satisfied. You will deal with guilt. You'll feel miserable. You'll know you're out of step with God. Listen, any deal that Satan offers you is a bad deal. I know people think that God is too restrictive. They don't want to be tied down to a bunch of rules. They want more freedom to indulge in what the world offers. I heard a story about a German shepherd that lived with his master who loved him very much. Every day when the master went to work, the German shepherd would be attached to a long chain in the garden, long enough to cover all the grounds and still be able to go inside through the dog door if need be, like if it rained or there was some other reason he had to be inside. One day, the German shepherd was watching over his master's property when a bulldog came bouncing up, laughing and taunting. The bulldog said, "Ha ha, look at you, all chained up, not free. I'm free, I can do what I want. If I'm hungry, I go to the garbage cans and find food. I can chase all the lady dogs. You can't be happy chained like that." Actually, the German shepherd said, "You have a point. I do wonder what it'd be like to have more freedom and go beyond the boundaries set by my master. But my master is good. He takes care of me and loves me, and I'm secure in his care." The bulldog came every day with the same old tactics. Finally, the German shepherd started listening to the bulldog and said, "Okay, if I want to be free, how is it possible I'm chained up? How is it possible while I'm all chained up?" "Oh," said the bulldog, "you got to be smart like me. When your master is out, you go into the living room right in the center of the rug and do a big job." "But my master will beat me," gasped the German shepherd. "Well, he'll beat you a few times, then he'll let you loose," said the bulldog. The German shepherd didn't sleep that night. He tossed and turned, trying to decide whether to listen to the bulldog or not. Next morning, his master hugged him and left him with the usual loving words, "Be a good dog, look after my house." But the German shepherd was under the spell of the bulldog. He went to the center of the living room and did a big job. The next day, the bulldog saw the German shepherd still chained, sitting silently in the garden. His nose was bright red. "What happened?" asked the bulldog. "You did it, didn't you? What happened?" "My master was so angry, he took me to the living room and rubbed my nose painfully in that mess," replied the German shepherd. "Oh, but that's just the first step. You do it a few more times and you'll be free," said the bulldog, running circles around him. "No," said the German shepherd. "This experience taught me one thing." "What?" asked the bulldog. "Now I know why your face is like it is." You know, Satan tries to tempt us away from the safe boundaries that God has set for us. God's commandments that he were given for our own benefit, God's word and God's will for us. Satan tempts us to make a mess in the house of God instead of being watchful and caring for our master's house. By that, the Bible tells us we are the temple of God, and Satan wants to mess that over so God hasn't got control. He wants us to mess over the church. The devil will come time after time to tempt us and tell us we are not really free. However, true freedom only comes in being a servant of the Lord. We should recognize Satan's tactics and resist him, and he'll flee from us. Martin Luther did. One night he woke up and the devil was at the end of his bed, and Martin Luther said, "Oh, it's only you." And he turned over and went back to sleep. You know, Satan knows the bait that you're going to go after, and he tries to entice you with that. I remember a young lady, I met her years later, but her name was Beth. And we were in Cheyenne, Wyoming, pastoring the church there. And Beth was assigned by a witch's coven in Fort Collins to come over and try to make me fall morally and be unfaithful to my wife and unfaithful to God. And I met her years later when she finally found the Lord as her Savior. And she told me she had been a witch. She said, "You don't remember me, do you?" I said, "No, I don't." She said, "Well, I came to your church for over a month on Sundays." And she said, "I tried to flirt with you. I tried to get your attention. Finally, I went back to the cove and said, it's no good. He's too faithful to his wife and too faithful to God to fall." And I thought, praise God, I'm so glad that I was faithful at that time. Later, there was a girl, I was holding a seminar on spiritual warfare. And this girl showed up. She called herself Annette. She had big brown eyes and long black hair and was just really very, very pretty. And she came to me after one of the sessions and she said she wanted some personal counseling. That she wanted to sit at my feet, she said, and learn about spiritual warfare. I said, "No, I'm sorry." I said, "If you want to learn that, you're going to have to talk to my wife." She said, "Well, my boyfriend is wanting to go into spiritual warfare. I want to be able to help him." I said, "Sorry, Satan, I see a trap." Listen, temptation is not sin like a lot of people think it is, because every Christian is tempted. If the devil is leaving you alone and not tempting you, you better check your relationship with Christ, because evidently Satan is not worried about you. Satan works harder on Christians and at the church than at the neighborhood bar or brothel, because he already owns those places and he owns those people. James 1:14-16, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." Well, temptation is when the devil asks, "Will you?" It becomes sin when you say, "I will," whether you ever get around to do it or not. If you decide you would, if you had the opportunity, it's sin. Flip Wilson used to draw a lot of laughs by saying, "The devil made me do it." But he was wrong, because the devil can't make us do anything if we want to stand for Jesus Christ. James 4:7-8, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." You know, you choose to live for Jesus and do God's will, or you choose to disobey Christ and fall prey to Satan. You are a free moral agent. That means you have the power to choose. Satan can't choose for you. He can tempt you, but you can say no. Pastor, I hear people say, "I've tried to be a Christian, but the battle's too great. I just can't seem to do it." One guy told me, "I find myself yielding to temptation and I'm constantly defeated. The Christian life isn't working for me." Well, the problem is, he, or if that's your problem, you've never totally committed your life to Jesus Christ. You need to be sanctified. You need to have God come in and set your life apart for his holy use and fill you with his Holy Spirit. In Romans 7:21-8:12, the Apostle Paul expresses this very thing. He said, "I find then the law that is evil is present with me." "I find then a law that evil is present with me, and one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of the righteousness. Romans 7:24 that I just read said in the King James Version, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul was referring to the practice that Rome had of chaining prisoners together. If one died, he remained chained to the living one who had to drag the dead one every place he went until the rotting carcass poisoned and killed him too. Paul was saying the sin you refuse to let go of is a horrible burden like a rotting corpse which will eventually bring your death too. The reason you're struggling with witnessing or prayer, devotions, turning your life over to Christ 100%, tithing, is because you're still fighting for what you think are your rights, the body of this death. That attitude will take you right to hell. You have no rights to fight for when you belong to Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 19 and 20 says, So do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If you're fighting for your rights and refusing to give God everything, that body of this death is decaying your spirit and will eventually destroy you. A man wanted to buy a house in Haiti for $2,000. The property owner wasn't sure he wanted to let the house go permanently, but he was willing to negotiate a sale on the condition he could buy the house back if he ever wanted to. Well, one stipulation for the sale was that he could put a nail above the front door, which he'd continue to own. The buyer thought, what could one little nail hurt if I own the rest of the house? The buyer agreed to the condition of the sale and paid the $2,000 asking price. 2 years later, the first owner wanted his house back. By then, the new owner wanted to renege on the agreement. The previous owner reminded him that he owned the nail and could do whatever he wanted with it. And the owner now said, yeah, he knew that. And so the previous owner found a dead dog and hung it on the nail. The new owner protested, but was reminded the contract read the nail belonged to the previous owner, and he could use it any way he wanted to. The dog carcass continued to hang, rotting and decaying and smelling horrible. Finally, the new owner could take it no longer. He moved his family out and sold the house back to the original owner. You know, when you withhold something from God, you have a nail that Satan will use to hang his poison on and defeat you. Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Is there something dead hanging in your life? Are you defeated by the body of this death? I want you to know God can clean it out for you and restore your relationship with Him. If you want to be successful in your Christian life, let God help you get rid of the nails that Satan wants to put in your life, that he wants to hang things to defeat you. Dear Father, I'd pray that you help us today, that we might each one do some heart searching. We might let you show us what there is that maybe would cause us to stumble or fail in our Christian walk. And help us, Lord, to know we can confess that to you, ask you to forgive us, and ask you to take that nail, those nails away, and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to let you have full control, to set our lives aside for your holy use, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I would remind you, if you want to get a hold of me, if you wanted to call me, my phone number is 623-845-2741. Or you can text. You can send me a text at that number and I'll get it. Or if you want to mail me a letter of some kind, it's Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. I'm no longer advertising about the Gmail because I miss too many things there. And if you want to get in touch with me, I want to hear from you. Now, God bless you. I would invite you to come tomorrow to the First Baptist Church on First Avenue in Buffalo there in Holbrook. I will be preaching tomorrow, God willing. And tomorrow night we will be having Bible study. And you would be welcome. In fact,